Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
I hope so.
There she is.
There she is. Leah Gilmore is, of course, the culture and political correspondent for the Center for Emerging Media, program director of Moving Maryland Forward Network, appears on the show often. Number here is 410-319-8888. Before we get to our conversation and introduce our guests, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. If you are a first or second time home buyer, there may be a house for you here in Baltimore. 1-800-638-7781 is the number. Maryland Mortgage Program, 1-800-638-7781. Or you can go to our website, steinershow.org, and click on their banner. All right. Leah Gilmore wrote me this email.
It all started long ago, once upon a time.
About a month ago, I got this email. And Leah Gilmore said, you know, we have to talk about UB Blakes. We're about to do this.
Right. I had just taken a tour, and it blew my mind. The UB Blake Center is just phenomenal. And I thought, this is in Baltimore? And you know, we're not talking about it, and the world isn't shouting about it.
You hadn't been there yet before?
You know, not this one. Not where they're located now. It is phenomenal. And then I find out one of my closest friends from, you know, when we were kids here at Morgan State University is now the executive director of UB Blake.
That must be Troy Burton.
That's Troy Burton.
Who's in the studio with us. Right. He's artistic and executive director of the UB Blake Center. We're also joined here by the great musician and Baltimore-born man, Craig Alston's in the studio with us. Good to have you here, Craig.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Amazing musician.
Warren Wilson's with us, who's a board member at UB Blake. Warren, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
410-319-8888 is the number here. So let's go back a bit. I mean, first of all, tell me why you wrote your email in the first place.
Because I was immensely excited. And I did not know that this was the 40th year that UB Blake Center has been around for 40 years. I mean, it's actually officially called the UB Blake National Jazz Institute and Cultural Center. And their location now, is it Howard Street?
Mm-hmm. North Howard Street.
It is absolutely phenomenal. And they offer so much. It's so many different areas of arts, the visual arts, the performing arts, you know, dancing, music. So I said, Baltimore need to hear about this. So Sid, who should I contact? You know, my boy Mark. So here we are today talking about UB Blake.
So let's go backwards a little bit. Because, I mean, I think that UB Blake, I mean, it's a name that people know. You hear, probably most people hear, oh, I know, I've heard of UB Blake, but who is he again? And I mean, and why was he so?
For me, he was that old guy who played the piano when I was a little girl on the Merv Griffin show. Yeah, the Merv Griffin show. I was mesmerized by him. But Troy, you're almost a historian of UB Blake. You know, tell us a little about.
Oh, well, UB Blake, of course, born in Baltimore. But UB Blake was the first African-American to have a Broadway musical, Shuffle Along, in 1921. So he was really phenomenal in creating songs for the Broadway stage, taking ragtime to the Broadway stage. And that was the first time that was done. So actually, he was a pioneer in the mixing jazz and ragtime in a Broadway manner.
Now, didn't you say, well, we'll play, did you say you brought along a blues piece you found that he did?
Oh, yep.
Let's hold on. Let's pick a piece just to get, before you other guests jump into this. Let's pick a piece that kind of for you signifies who UB was.
Okay, well, we can start with I'm Just Wild About Harry.
Which is one of the signature songs.
There you go. Oh, yeah. That's the big hit from the musical.
Big hit from the musical, but it was also used when Harry Truman was running for office.
That's right.
Actually, I brought a copy of an autographed copy so you all could see how the music was used during that time to promote politics.
So can we cue that up? We're going to keep the one I'm Just Wild About Harry piano solo. UB Blake, you want to play that one?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
that's Leah Gilmore playing Ubi Blake.
that was Ubi Blake playing, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He had extremely long fingers, so playing the piano, he had that stride where he can bounce back and forth and reach those octaves.
And he played up almost to the day he died.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right? So who in this room saw him play? Anybody?
No, he died in 1983, and I think for Troy and I mean, I was just getting out of high school.
Yeah,
I don't know if Craig was born. So.
I was 9 years old.
Right.
Wow. So, 9 years old.
I remember seeing the Kennedy Center special.
I do, too. I remember that.
Which the Morgan State Choir was a part of for the UB Blake 100 celebration.
Right. Yeah. And there was, Troy, there was some discrepancy about his age.
Yeah.
What is that?
Actually, there's some records that say Ubi Blake actually lived to 98. But according to his personal account from his family and himself, that he lived to be 100. He was born in 1883.
Mm. And the man, I mean, amazing how he kept up and how he kept going. I mean,
what amazed me is in 1946, if I'm correct, he went back to school. He went to New York University and got his degree in music in 2.5 years. You know, after playing on, after doing Broadway, after doing all the other things, he says, oh, yeah, I think I'm just going to go back to school.
He was in his 60s then, right?
He was in his 50s, I think, 50s. Wasn't he?
50s?
Yeah. And he just goes to New York University and said, in 2.5 years and gets a degree.
Unbelievable. So what was your introduction, Craig, to? I mean, this is not the style of music you play.
Well, I don't look at it as if I just play a particular style. Excuse me. It's all music to me.
Right.
So what happens is, in order to, and this is just, I believe in life, whenever you're trying to move ahead with anything, you have to go back and study the history. Mm-hmm. You can't move forward until you figure out who came before you that paved the way. To help you to understand how to get there, and you understand the patterns and the cycles of life, and that's what's going to help you to move stuff forward.
So when did you first become aware of Ubi Blake?
Wow. I mean, Ubi Blake, well, for me, it started with people like Louis Armstrong. Mm. So once I started getting into Louis Armstrong, well, my first introduction to jazz, I saw Morgan State back in, I think it was like 1983 or 84, mm-hmm. open for Max Roach at Artscape.
Wow.
The Fifth Regiment Armory.
Right.
And that was my first introduction. So then I moved on to Sonny Rollins. Then eventually I found out Charlie Parker. Then I found out about Coltrane. Then I said, okay, that's nice, but who came before them? Who influenced them?
Right.
So then I went started going back. I was like, okay, Lester Young, Sidney Bechet, you know, I just kept digging further back. And now, right now, I'm studying, like, James Reese Europe, you know, who was very instrumental in pre-jazz. He was kind of like the John Philip Sousa.
Right.
Of, you know, African-American John Philip Sousa, basically. He was the one that, but, I mean, basically, for me, it's always, I'm always constantly learning. So I'm always researching, going back and back and just finding out. And I have friends that are historians and musicologists. And they just keep hitting me to people. And every day I'm studying somebody. Every day. Some days it's Art Tatum. Sometimes it's Errol Father Hines. Sometimes Willie the Lion Smith.
And some women sometimes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And by the way, right here at the station, they're coming up this, just let folks know, I don't know the exact dates, but we'll let you know as we know them, that Pamela Hall and others are putting together a 4-hour special on women in jazz.
Oh, yeah. That'll That's be here. Awesome.
That's for Women History, Women's
Wonderful.
History Month. So,
yeah.
Sandy Mallory's working on it as well, be on her show. It's going to be really
it's going to be great.
It's going to be wonderful. So that's
what
that's
a, what a
up.
Treat that
that's
will
gonna
be.
That's going to be a real treat. It's going to be a real treat. People, some people I've never even heard of that they were saying that they were going to put up in the air. But back to Ubi Blake. Mm-hmm. So this talk a bit about, I'm curious, Warren Wilson, how you got involved in this in Ubi Blake Center.
Troy and the chairman, John Clark Maiden, asked me to become a board member. So I joined the organization. My background is in finance and administration. So
everybody needs a little bit of that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a good. That was smart, Troy.
Oh, yes.
So I learn a lot from these gentlemen just listening to them talk about everything that they do. But it's just a wonderful facility, as Leah said.
So now, going back to Ubi Blake himself, I mean, he is a pioneer in so so many ways. I mean, just in terms of when he first came out to play, everybody was playing minstrel shows in blackface, whether they were black or white, playing in blackface with, you know, big eyes and big lips and doing all that madness.
Yeah, things we don't like
but
to remember.
He
so
didn't.
Well.
Oh, no.
No,
he
no.
didn't do that.
No, his musical Shuffle Along was actually had a wonderful story. It was a love story, but it was all had a second storyline to it, actually dealing with a candidate running for office. And actually, his name was Harry. So it was a great performance where UB Blake knew how to use the ragtime within the show, but also take the Broadway style music that was evolving at that time with the big bands and put that and actually score it. So and create hit songs that people would remember and buy the sheet music, just like we do now when we download a single. They would buy the sheet music and play the music in their homes.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. I mean, this is the same man who, from Shuffle Along, who, you know, 50 years later or so in the 70s was playing on Saturday Night Live with Gregory Hines. Mm-hmm. You know, his career spanned it so many decades, and his influence on so many, I mean, he was an influence on all of us because he did not compromise his music. He played what he played, and he played it well. You know, and I'm just excited because Troy has some blues that he played, you know.
Well,
I love the blues.
We're going to jump into the blues things. I never heard a UB Blake blues, but I'm going to play the other cut we have here. I'm just wild about Harry, to hear Thelma Carpenter and Avon Long from the revival of the 1952 revival of Shuffle Along.
And also Avon Long, he was from Baltimore here, actually graduate from Douglas High School. So he was another prominent Broadway artist from Baltimore.
That.
Yeah.
Hear the words. Listen to this for a minute, folks.
That's what I claim. For every fellow, there must be a girl. I found my mate by kindness of fate. Yes, I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy and just like honey from the bee. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about, can I do without, he's just wild about me.
Talk about me, baby.
I'm just wild about Harry.
Oh, good.
Harry's wild about me.
Tell the world.
Oh, the heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy.
Be careful, honey.
He's sweet just like chocolate candy.
That's me.
Just like honey from the bee.
Oh, baby.
Oh, I'm just wild about Harry.
And guess what?
And he's just wild about, cannot do without, he's just wild about me.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
See that?
I would like to meet Harry.
It was Harry S. Truman.
Yeah.
Well, it could be Harry S. Truman. It could be lots
could
of Harry.
Harry.
No, it was
right.
Harry S. Truman that it was written for.
Oh.
And from that, it put him over the top to become the president. And from that day forward, each presidential candidate has a theme song. So
sometimes
UB Blake started something way back then.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, and how many people really know when they hear that song that it was really written by UB Blake?
Right.
By this
right.
early pioneer. I mean, people don't.
Or that it's written by an African American.
Exactly.
That's really the thing that people don't know about, because it really is a song that crossed. You know, it wasn't your traditional African-American sounding song, if I can say that. It was something that during that time period just crossed genres.
Yes.
You know.
And the first version we played was actually more of the ragtime.
Right, exactly, with the stride.
Yes.
Exactly.
So now, what about this when you have the UB Blake Center? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, we're honoring him because he's a Baltimorean, one of the great jazz musicians, the father of a lot of music in America, just an incredible personality. So the center was built in his name and his honor. But what goes on there?
Oh.
What goes on at this place?
Everything. Anything in the cultural arts, we have it. From classes and dance, drama, arts and crafts, visual arts, you name it. We have a lot of things there. And we also serve as an incubation place for other smaller cultural institutions.
What does that mean? I mean,
like, fiscal agents, yeah. If you know.
Yeah, like Baltimore Jazz Alliance, they're housed there. We have another nonprofit group, Muse 360, with a focus in dance. We have a small music company called The Drum Production. So there are a lot of different things that are offered at the UB Blake Center, classes that the center offers, as well as other community groups.
So I know the center. We were there. The WEA had its celebration there last year, I think.
Year before
last. Mm-hmm. And it is an amazing,
it's beautiful, isn't
amazing
it?
Amazing spot.
Yeah.
Amazing spot. And it's gone through a lot of changes
over
the years.
Oh, yes. Well, the building that we're in now, 847 North Howard Street, is the original University of Baltimore. William Donald Schaefer went to school there.
It's a law school, right?
Yeah, law school.
Right.
So it's been several different institutions, Maryland General Hospital,
right.
Nursing School, and now the UB Blake Center. And at the center where the University of Baltimore Law Library was, we have a performance space called UB Live where we produce concerts.
Yeah. Where my kids, the Baltimore Voices kids that, you know, I've been talking to you about, where I've been volunteering at a school in West Baltimore, Franklin Elementary School, they're going to do their performance there.
Really?
So, yeah, at the UB Blake Center.
Has it started? The program has already started?
It started in January. It started in February.
Well, where have I been?
That's right. Yeah, I've been telling you about it. I've been telling you. But I think the wonderful thing about that is that there is a place for these children who do not have music in their school. They don't have vocal music in their school. A lot of schools have instrumental music, that I could go to Troy and say, look, I really need some place for these kids to perform, and it's there. Mm-hmm. And it's high quality. If they wanted to tape and make a CD, mm-hmm. they could do that there in that same space. The acoustics, it was built for the acoustics. It's beautiful. And I think more of Baltimore needs to know about this hidden jewel.
Yeah, every summer.
It is absolutely a jewel.
Every summer we do a jazz workshop there. Mm-hmm. Craig Austin is actually the director of the jazz workshop, right. Where we get kids all over the state. As far as York, Pennsylvania, they'll come down and they'll study jazz with Craig. And
so what do you do there, Craig? Tell us about that.
Craig is bad.
basically, it's like almost like a jazz boot camp. And for like 3 weeks, it's just real heavy. And I'm trying to touch on everything, like theory, just like mechanics, dealing with the instrument. Learning how to become more disciplined, to figure out how to focus on their problem areas, figure out what their strengths are, and just try to work on transcriptions, trying to help them. Because basically, jazz is a language. Music is a language in itself. And if you ever notice, I've traveled the world a little bit. You know, I remember going to Japan one time, and I didn't speak Japanese. I didn't speak English. We started playing Misty.
Yeah, but you spoke music.
We connected.
That's right.
We connected just right away. They were like, oh. And you start connecting. So the important thing about it is music is a language. And each genre has its own dialect. And jazz is very much like that. It's very sophisticated in the sense that there's certain phrases and certain things that occur within improvisation or whatever. So we try to touch on these different elements in improvisation so the children can be able to speak that language.
Hmm. How old are these kids that you're teaching in the summer?
I mean, we've had kids as young as, like 6.
Mm-hmm.
A kid as young as 6 to like 17.
Wow.
Yeah, put an instrument in their hand and actually mm-hmm. get an opportunity to study with a performing artist. You know, that's a great experience.
And I've brought in like some of my professional colleagues and cats that have traveled all around the world and are playing with like really heavy people. I bring them in, let them interact with the kids, let the kids ask them questions. Mm. It's been really nice, and I've learned a lot just by being there. So it's not just I'm teaching them, I'm learning the whole time.
But you're changing their lives in so many ways, because I mean, it's a statistical fact that when kids are introduced to music and the performing arts, their academic scores go up significantly because music, I mean, music should not, in this country, music is often a luxury. Mm-hmm. And around the world, it's a necessity. Mm-hmm. It is part of us, you know, it's how we express our soul. Mm-hmm. And I remember a story like that, you know, playing a song. I couldn't speak Russian at all, and I'm sitting there in Russia, but you start playing or you start singing "Since I Fell for You." It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I've got it. And that's what our Baltimore City children deserve, that as much as any other kids in this world or in this state.
Yep.
And that is what the UB Blake Center does. Although they have kids from everywhere, they allow Baltimore City kids the same opportunities as kids with more resources can get because their parents can afford it. And I just think they are such an amazing institute to have here. You know, it's really a blessing to have them here.
I mean, the whole concept behind cultural arts centers is very important, just for that culture.
Right.
What's happening is now there's with the pressing of like No Child Left Behind and all these educational, you know, where we got to make all these deadlines and they got to be able to do this and these standardized tests that they're trying to make all these marks. The culture is being forced out of the kids, and the only culture that they're getting is the culture they get from TV. So they're not able to figure out why they like something or why they don't like something. They're basically, they're not reading the books they need to be reading. You know, when I was a kid, there were certain books I just had to read.
That's right. That's right.
When you're a musician or you're a jazz musician, there's certain books you have to read, certain biographies you have to read,
that's right.
certain recordings you have to listen to. Because if you don't, you're not
going
to
There's no foundation.
There's no foundation. You know, you can't have a house without a foundation.
Right. Yeah.
Well said.
Absolutely well said.
And every even little tiny town in Europe has a cultural center. That's how important it is. They have a cultural center, a place where people go to listen to music, to learn music, to study music from 8 to 80. You know, and just like Craig was saying, with this focus on testing, teaching for the test, we're not focusing on the whole person. And music and the arts creates a whole person. And that's what they're doing.
And I think the importance of being culturally enriched, it helps you to become more worldly. The problem is, in the United States, is we're not worldly. When I travel, to other countries,
that's right.
when I travel to other countries, they know what's going on in other part of the world. They know what's going on here as well as what's going on in Baltimore in particular. We only know what's going on in the 2 or 3 mile radius of our homes.
Hmm. And that's what we have to change. It's on us. It's the onus is on us. I mean, our kids are going to go to Scotland. The Baltimore Voices kids, we've hooked it up so they could do that.
Nice.
I know
that's nice.
For, you know how that goes. But we've already made the arrangements with the theater over there. It's now called Money. Mm-hmm. You know how that goes.
Sure.
But exposing kids to other places is crucial. I think. Travel, knowing that there's more than East Baltimore or West Baltimore, or knowing that there's more than your school is so important.
Now, we deprive our children of all this kind of stuff, of the art, music, the kind of things that help human beings grow. And the ability to speak another language. We just are very kind of parochial and just teaching to, all we want to do is math and science, which is important. And reading, we got to have it.
Yeah. Math is crucial for music.
Mm-hmm. First of all,
it makes you a better mathematician.
The greatest mathematicians are also musicians.
Yes.
But first of all, music, basically in its rawest form, embodies all the principles. It's like raw. It's like 100% physics.
Yeah. That's what I was a physics major.
You're dealing with acoustics. You're dealing with mathematics. You're dealing with processing, critical thinking skills, processing like a bunch of different things at the same time. Think about it. When you're sitting there reading music, you're basically looking at a sheet of music. You're looking at the notes that are going on at that moment, but you're also looking ahead.
Right.
So you're processing all the stuff in your mind. It's almost like you're making a copy of it. And you interpret, and all the while, you're playing the notes. You're physically, a lot of times, let's say you're playing saxophone, when you're physically fingering the notes, you're blowing. You're blowing through the instrument. And then you're also trying to convey emotions while dealing with the dynamics.
Right.
So that's pretty high level thinking. That's pretty involved. You can't really, I'm not going to say it. It's going to sound worse than, you can't really be an idiot and deal with music or any art to really be dealing with your art. You're dealing with you got to deal with high level. You got to deal with your soul because you're expressing, you're you know, conveying an emotion. And people that are the best at what they do, sometimes they're a little off a little bit, but they're it's, well, it's heavier.
You can tell people who are technical. I mean, right. You can tell people who are technical players and people who have got the art, who've went from technique into technique and emotion. Those are two different things. John Lee Hooker said, you know, it's easy to play the blues. No, that was Jimi Hendrix. He said, the blues is easy to play, but it's not easy to feel. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. And it's the same with jazz.
And also when you're looking at music, reading music, it's like mathematics in a sense.
It's math,
You're reading another language. It's a separate language. You're learning it, mm-hmm. you know, that because you're reading things, notes that you're learning how to read and what they sound like in your head and where they go.
Right.
And that, so we'll kind of come back to this. We're talking about UB Blake. We're talking about more than UB Blake. We're talking about UB Blake Center here in Baltimore.
We're talking about math.
We're going to hear some more of UB Blake's music as we go through and come right back from this break to talk about what the power of music and art is in our lives, how you find it at the UB Blake Center, and why don't we have more of it. 410-319-8888. Ethan over here. Join us. We'll be right back. So, hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We're talking about the power of art and music in the lives of our children and how do you get it. One of the reasons we're talking about today is because of the 40th anniversary of the UB Blake Center.
Yay.
Here in Baltimore City. And we are lucky to have Troy Burton with us, who's artistic and executive director at the UB Blake Center. You heard before we went to break, Craig Alston, one of our great musicians, a Baltimore native, who is laying down some profound thoughts here on this conversation. Warren Wilson is with us, a board member of UB Blake Center. Chris Leah Gilmore, the culture and political correspondent for CEM. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We want to hear what you think about what Craig has just been saying. I think that we need to wrestle with the kind of the power of what art means in people's lives. What does it mean for your child to be able to read music? How would it change who he or she is? And why is that as important as learning how to read the written word, to do mathematics? Join us here, 410-319-8888. Think about what that means. As we're doing that, we'll let you listen to a little gypsy blues. Thelma Carter and Yvonne Long from the 1952 revival of Shuffle Along by the great UB Blake. Let's hear a little bit of this. We'll come right back to our conversation.
All right.
All right. We're not quite ready yet. Well, as soon as he pods it up, we will get to that. But this is Gypsy Blues, Thelma Carter and Yvonne Long, the 1952 revival of Shuffle Along.
All right. I'm really looking forward to this one because, you know, so you don't often relate UB Blake to blues. So this is great.
Yeah. I mean, wait till we get this high sign. Are we ready?
Yeah. I'm going to talk a lot about the blues thing. Because America wouldn't do it.
Talking to a gypsy.
Yeah.
And what did she have to tell me? When my palm she read, I asked her when I would wed. And she shook her head. And then what did she say?
What did she say, baby?
I don't know, because I ran away. Now I've got the gypsy blues. And I'm sorry that I did refuse to wait and listen to her gypsy news. Maybe she was just in doubt, and some line was trying to figure out, and trying to find what it was about. I would give all my weight in gold to know what she was about to tell me. But if she had a said that you, sweetie, you'd lose, they'd had to bury me rather than to start a ruse. Why, I ran away and got my dues. That's why I got those ipsy gypsy blue gypsy blues.
So,
there
Craig,
you go.
What were you about to say? You wanted to riff on something with this.
Blues is what really makes America, makes, that's really the thing that America brings to this whole musical thing. Like, if, I mean, you know, you had all the classical music that came out of Austria.
Right.
That
right.
was brilliant, masterful. But when, you know, when the Americans came here, the introduction of the blues is what made America unique. It set us apart. Right.
It's our know. It's our indigenous music.
Right, it's our indigenous you music. Know? So right.
And it's the foundation of all popular music.
So, like, we you wouldn't know? Have any of the stuff that we have now. There wouldn't have been no Beatles.
That's right. No Rolling Stones.
No Rolling Stones. It wouldn't have been any of that if it wasn't for the blues. And I think a lot of times people lose sight of the importance of what it really means. That's what makes popular music, that emotion
right.
that is conveyed
right.
from the blues. So the blues is important. That's why coming to UB Blake is important. That's one
that's
of the things
right.
I beat the kids over the head with blues for like 3 weeks.
I'm glad you beat them over there with blues. It's so important because you know the Rolling Stones got their names from a Muddy Waters song.
Right.
You know, it was the song called I'm a Rolling Stone. And they flew over here just to see Muddy Waters. And they find this guy painting Chess Studios. And they said, can you show me Muddy Waters? You know, he said, I'm Muddy Waters. And he's painting the studio. And this is their hero. I mean, the person they worshipped. I mean, the blues, Craig is so right about that. The blues was created here. It is American, and it was created by African Americans because it was. But it is a mixture of European music, the music that we heard. You know, African slaves, and they rolled it all up and they created the blues.
Wait, one of
down
the
there that, in Mississippi.
One of the things that what you all are saying, I think, is really important to kind of wrestle with here, especially when you think about mm-hmm. what is being taught at the UB Blake Center and what it means to this community and communities beyond mm-hmm. this. Is we don't. I think that people don't realize or don't think enough about, I should say, that the power of what came out of the African diaspora. If you think
right.
of every musical form that has taken grip of the planet Earth beyond these borders, whether it's blues or salsa or jazz or any, this is where it was born.
What about hip hop now? You know, being used, you know, during the Arab Spring, they're
right.
expressing themselves with hip hop, and hip hop is straight out of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And when you think a lot about hip hop, you think about someone like Cab Calloway had his
right.
own style, had
right.
his own hipster's dictionary. With,
right, Minnie Namucha. Listen to that. Listen to that. You know.
Right. I mean that is the. And that is kind of the signature of the planet.
And that's not what we're teaching our kids. You know, we're not. I was talking to the kids about the blues. I think Greg's going to have to come in because he's really on point. But I was talking to kids about different genres, and they didn't know, you know, that the blues was created by African Americans. That blew my mind
wow.
because they're not taught.
Yeah.
They're, you know, we don't tell them or the importance of it. That's why I'm so glad they're going to see Porgy and Bess, because Gershwin knew the importance of blues in our world. And if you listen to the score, you can hear blue mm-hmm. notes.
Mm-hmm.
We did Porgy and Bess together.
At the Lyric.
What was that, like 24 years ago
19,
or something?
1988.
Oh, please be quiet.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was, we were so young, you know, for us, that was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was an experience just like the kids have, you know. But the UB Blake Center, when they go there, they get to hear Craig Smith. They get Troy's over 20 years of experience of being a teacher, being a director. You have directed many plays and musicals, of being an actor. Troy's a singer. You know, so not only is he an executive director, an artistic director, he's a performer.
He's a tap dancer.
He's a tap dancer. Yes. That's right.
Another form of international culture that was the marriage of an African American world here out of slavery,
the drums,
and the Irish world that came over that melded together, and we had
that
came out of here.
That's right. That's why we created, you know, Umoja Gallica, you know, because there were so many similarities between our musics, between African-American and Celtic music. You wouldn't think, but if you listen to a Celtic drum play and you close your eyes, you think you're in Ghana.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we created this program with Celtic and African-American musicians. And it still blows my mind.
It's incredible. I mean, I've been to Scotland and Ireland.
Yes.
And
it, like, amazing.
The connection is like
it's like
immediate.
That, isn't it?
It's immediate. It's amazing. Like, you would just never imagine it. It just out of nowhere. They just come up to you and hug you, and it just like.
That's right.
There's a connection, like, right away.
Extreme. I think it's oppressed people make amazing music. I mean, something's got to come out of all that hell. Yeah. You know? And
we did an art exhibit one time called A Day in the Life of Africa. Mm-hmm. And where we took students here in Baltimore City, they toured the exhibit, but they also got an opportunity to take an African dance class taught in French.
Wow, yep. That's very cool.
So it's the whole cultural experience.
Right, which we don't get enough of. Yes. Now, if UB Blake Center wasn't there, would that have happened? No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, folks, I don't know how many of you out there have used UB Blake Center, have participated in things there, have your kids gone there, and what you think the power of that kind of cultural presence means in our city. I think it is not known enough. I mean, it's just that people, it needs to be kind of really understood.
Well, I'm on a mission. This is my thing this year. Because when I toured UB Blake Center, I was mind blown, wasn't I? I told you, I just could not believe this was in Baltimore. It really was on par with, I played a lot of cultural centers, and I'm sure it has Craig, in Europe and other countries. And it's on par. It's equitable, if not better, than a lot of those places I've played. And it's sitting here in Baltimore.
We're still a struggling nonprofit.
Like, and so are they, okay? And, you know, that's why we need to support them. We need to support them so even though they're a struggling nonprofit, so they can be a healthy nonprofit. You know, and you become a healthy nonprofit by being used. Mm-hmm. You become used by being known. So, Mark, this is why we really appreciate this opportunity, I'm sure, Troy.
That's true, yes.
And,
true,
you know, yes. To tell people about this incredible place, because I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
And the other thing, it's not just a local institution. It's national.
It's national. Yes. Right, it's national.
Yeah. Right.
It's here.
This past Thursday, we had the Recording Academy host an event there and had international artists. Is his name Teddy Douglas?
Yeah, Teddy Douglas.
Teddy Douglas just won a Grammy.
Basement Boys, yeah.
Oh, I've heard of the Basement Boys,
yes. And a brother by the name of Carter James. I think his real name is James Carter. But he put some tracks down, and he told a story of how he didn't think it was going to amount to anything, but he said they started sending him checks. And he said, what? Send me some more of those checks. Keep playing that music.
The whole thing of publishing and how to copyright your material properly. So,
which is crucial.
As a songwriter, you can earn a living.
And that's one of the things me and Mr. Burton talk about all the time is showing people that, because when I grew up, my mother was just like, oh, you play in a band, that's real nice. So what are you really going to do for a living? And she said that up until she passed. But it was funny because, like, when I would go out and be gone for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then come back, and she would see my name on albums and stuff.
Mm.
Then she was like, "Oh, wait a minute, this is serious." I'm like, "Yeah, it's very serious." And I think children have to, young people, and particularly African American young people, and all young people in general, have to stop looking at it as just some extracurricular thing, and realize that there are careers in this. And the whole thing is like a place like UB Blake can help foster, teach them how to set up their nonprofit or set up the LLC or mm-hmm. how to become how to build entrepreneurial
right.
mindset to figure out, well, okay, I can actually have a career or turn this into a vocation instead of just being a hobby.
And it doesn't have to just be a musician. They need accountants.
Right.
They need managers.
Right.
They need secretaries. They need producers. It's a myriad of things.
And that's where that finance guy comes in.
I guess so.
I think that's great, though, because, you know, being a musician, I mean, I've tried not to be. I mean, if you are a musician, you have to, or you something in you dies. You know, you have to do it. You know it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things that it's the gift the universe gives you, and you have to use it. But I think that there's not many places where you can use it. And that's what makes UB Blake so great, because it's not like I have to be a superstar. I have to know everything. I can go and learn. I can go in from nothing and come out as something, you know, and very well prepared to move on. And there's not many places you can get that opportunity for and afford it.
Yeah, we give artists an opportunity to produce their own shows.
Right.
They can come in and they can utilize the space to produce any type of, if it's open mic poetry and you want to turn it into a choreo poem, you know, we mm-hmm. develop artists so they can do that there. So if you have a vision, we'll nurture the vision.
And you can create CDs, recordings, right?
No, well, we bring artists in and they can do a live recording there. Actually, right. Craig is going to do a live recording coming in April.
April 29th.
What are you going to do?
Duke Ellington's birthday. I'm doing a sextet recording, trumpet, saxophone, trombone, piano, bass, and drums. And it's kind of scary because it's on Duke Ellington's birthday.
Yeah.
So the pressure's on. But I'm going to do straight-ahead jazz. I do a bunch of other things. Now, I'm not just a jazz musician. You might see me playing a soul gig. You might see me playing with an orchestra.
Right.
You might see me as a musical director. You might see me conducting an orchestra. Like, I deal with all things music. I've repaired instruments. I've done everything.
So, what did you study?
I originally went to Morgan. I went to Morgan to become a music educator. And then somehow I became a jazz musician.
All of us went to Morgan, I think. I went to Morgan, but you know what? My degree's in political science and economics. But I spent my time with Dr. Carter
in the choir. Yes.
You know, and I think Craig hit the nail on the head about music. Well, I don't consider myself a blues singer. I'm a singer that can sing the blues, but I also sing classically. I also sing jazz. I also play the piano. Mm-hmm. You know, I've played a few instruments. I've never made one. I've never repaired one. So maybe, Craig, you can hook a sister up with that one, you know. But give it to me, I'll sing it.
Oh my
goodness. If it's good, you know. And I think we all have to be like that. I think when you get stuck, because even Wynton Marsalis was talking about, I saw him play with Willie Nelson once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They cut a CD together.
Yeah, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And what I think we like to mix it up, you know, because life gets really boring just doing one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with a musician here who's actually working with UB Blake's music for a reinterpretation of his music.
Wow. That's right. In Baltimore?
Yeah, Art Kennedy.
Okay, very cool.
Very interesting. So, folks, let's play this cut since we're talking about UB Blake. And you mentioned so much trouble to get some of these cuts. What do you want to have him gin up for us here?
Let's go to one of his popular songs, Memories of You.
So Memories of You is going to pop up here. We're going to pull it up. You ready? Okay, here we go. Thank you. That's a little bit of UB Blake playing for us. Memories of You, and this is something he was on the piano in 1960 or so, which means he was in his mid-late 70s when he was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Early 70s when he was doing this. And
just think of the memory that you need to do this, you know?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And what he kept in his head.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about earlier, he was playing in his 90s, kept on through his 90s playing piano. If you listened to play, you wouldn't even known that.
No. You don't go, oh, that's a 90-year-old guy. You know, not at all.
Still had dexterity in his fingers.
Right.
It did. So my music keeps
so
you young.
So many places to go with that. Yeah.
Well, I think, again, you know, I think the kind of the importance of all this is I mean, besides just talking about the UB Blake Center, is the power of music and art in people's lives. And I know I heard what you were saying, Craig, you know, about people can make a living at it and use this in their lives. It's also, you know, when I taught acting in school for the arts for all those years, one of the things I told my class is that always every year I told them, I said, you know, maybe 10% of you will end up making your living at this business, but it doesn't make any difference because it's the power of the art that's in your life. Mm-hmm. You'll always be painting a picture. You can always blow the sax. You can always play in a play. You can always
It's
part of your existence.
I mean, it's funny because when I was a kid, I used to draw, paint, and sculpt. So then one day, a switch just turned, and I just became a musician. So I believe that it's all connected. It's all related.
Yeah. And I always wanted to draw, paint, and sculpt.
Do you still do that?
When I have time, but I don't have time. I'm like learning 30, 40, 50 songs a week.
Well, you all can come down to the UB Blake Center and take a class.
Yeah. There you go.
Are you right?
In all
right,
that?
Right?
Yes.
In sculpture?
And those 17-month-old twins.
We're working on that right now. We're working on building a ceramic studio.
That's right. You said that. Right.
So hopefully we have something coming down the pike here shortly.
So tell me, before we run out of time here, folks want to be involved in the UB Blake Center.
Well,
wax fourth minute. Tell them how to do it.
Well, you call to the center, 410-225-3130, or you can go on our website, www.ubblake.org. There's an info sheet there. You can send us your information if you want to receive emails from us and get involved. Or you can come down to 847 North Howard Street and visit us, as well as Facebook, UB Blake, and we do the Twitter and all of that other stuff. So all the social media. So just get involved. Every month we open with a first Thursday with a new art exhibition featuring local and national artists. We have a summer program for children. This is the first time we're going to do young kids ages 5 to 8, as well as kids of age 9 to 13.
Wow.
So if you need a place to nurture your child in the arts, you can reach out to us at the UB Blake Center. We have we do a little bit of everything. We have a wonderful fashion show coming up in May, wonderful concerts coming up. You name it. If it's arts related, that's us.
So the telephone number is?
410-225-3130.
So, folks, we want you to take advantage of this. We wanted to thank all of our guests here this hour. I want to thank Troy Burton, Artistic Director, Executive Director of UB Blake, for being here. Board Member Warren Wilson for being here in the studio.
Thank you, sir.
The great Greg Alston for taking time out from his family and music to be here in the studio. Of course, Leah Gilmore as well for co-hosting this hour. And at least hour and a half.
Yeah, I've been here an hour and a half.
You have?
That's right. I'm going to Turkey next month.
Wow. I'm not. Well, that's good. Congratulations. I know that's going to be wonderful. I can't wait to hear about that journey.
Yeah, it should be better than Siberia.
It won't be as cold. The food will be better.
Right. I'm all about the food. Okay.
Folks, stay with us now. Marsha Jews is coming up next. Keep it moving. She's got Isaiah Washington and Melinda Williams coming in, and Dr. Derek Musgrove with his book, and the former State Senator Clarence Mitchell as well. So stay here for all that and learn more about the African Diaspora Disparity Conference in Baltimore. She has all that coming up on her show coming up next in the next hour, so stay here for that. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Harrison and Justin Levy. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. We're engineered by Regis Tucker. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this again, podcast and repair shows, find out information about our guests and the work they do, please visit us on our website at steinershow.org. Reminding you on the way out of here, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily contents in arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at urbanitebaltimore.com. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.